All right, Yerushalayim, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Hey 35. We are picking up on Lamed Dalid Amud Beis 34b. So let's actually begin again from the Gemara, which is seven lines up on the bottom. Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Aval Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, Kalam Kalkalin Peturin, Chutz Michovel Umavir. So Rabbi Aval said before Rabbi Yochanan, on Shabbos, we're not talking about Hilchos Shabbos in just a moment. So on Shabbos, anything that is kilkul, anything ultimately, again, that is destructive in nature, by definition, you are potter for on Shabbos. The idea is that on Shabbos, one is only chayiv for melechas machshavas. Melechas machshavas means an intentional, constructive act. Therefore, if somebody does something destructive on Shabbos, so by definition, again, they are potter. So Rabbi Avohu said before Rabbi Yochanan, in general, any act of kilkul is potter on Shabbos. Chutz Mechovel umavir, with the exception, of course, of, well, not of course, with the exception of chovel, which ultimately means injuring another, and mavir, burning something down. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, now remember, what are the malachos of chovel and mavir? So mavir, we know, havara, kindling, is one of the lamates malachos. Ultimately, chovel, if you injure someone, and if you, let's say, you draw blood, then by definition, that would fall under the malacha of shechita, of slaughter. So the idea that Rabbi Avohu is saying is under normal circumstances, destructive acts are normally potter on Shabbos, with the exception of chovel and mavir, which by definition are destructive acts, kindling, or ultimately, again, chovel injuring, but yet they're still chayav on Shabbos. So Amarle, so we'll say to which Rabbi Yochanan responds, puk tani libra, literally take that teaching out of the base medrash. That doesn't make any sense. So chovel and mavir ain't a mishnah. Chovel and mavir, the idea that they are chayiv, even though, again, they're makalkal, that was not taught by the Tanoim. Imtim Salam Mishnah, and if you want to say that indeed you could find that this teaching is recorded, Chova B'tzarach L'Kabo, Mavir B'tzarach Afro, you'd have to say that it's a case where what? Where ultimately, again, why is a person going ahead and injuring themselves? Let's say, for example, it's a case of persons cutting themselves. Bless you. So why are they cutting themselves? Where they need the blood for their dog. Because I guess sometimes people would feed blood to a dog. So the idea over here is, that you've been cutting yourself or cutting someone else for this because you need the blood. Or the case of mavir, the case of kindling, would be a case of where you're burning something because you need the ashes. So these would be constructive cases where the malacha was actually being done for some type of constructive purpose. That's why you would be chayiv. So Tanan, so we'll say, let's analyze the Mishnah. Tanan, Shoro Shehidlik Esagadish B'Shabbos. So remember, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah spoke about a case of an ox that ignited a field on Shabbos. So the ox burnt down a field on Shabbos. What's the halacha? Chayiv. So we'll say, the owner of the ox is chayiv for that damage that his ox did. However, but remember again, what did the Mishnah say? That if I light the field on Shabbos, then what? Then I am potter. Why am I potter? Because remember, if you burn down a field on Shabbos, there's dual liability. Number one, there's financial liability for the field that you destroyed. And there's also, again, misa, there's a death penalty because I publicly and intentionally violated Shabbos. Whenever you are faced with dual liability, financial and capital, so remember, again, the death sentence sets aside any financial obligation. So the Gemara says, V'katani, and we learn, and we assume in the Mishnah, who Dumya Deshoro. Now, both say, interesting, remember, the Mishnah is equating or comparing these two cases of where I burn down the field on Shabbos, and my ox burns down the field on Shabbos. My ox is chayiv, right, so to speak, and I am putter. So the Gemara says, is the Mishnah not equating these two cases? What's the comparison? Mashoro delo kaboyle. Well, so just like the case of the shar does not require the ashes from the field, top of lamedei. Afunali delo kaboyle. So Tzibosa, the case being discussed in the Mishnah is when I burn down the field, I also don't need the ashes. Yet what? Vikatani putter. Yet what does the Mishnah rule? The Mishnah rules that I'm potter. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that when it comes to havara, when it comes to kindling, you are chayiv for a destructive act. You are chayiv for a destructive act, meaning even though I don't need the ashes for anything, by definition, I'm still chayiv for the act of kindling. So you see, if I don't need the ashes, then the act of kindling is a destructive one, and yet we still see that I'm chayiv for that destructive act on Shabbos, to which the Gemara says, which goes lo sharo dum yodide. No, in reality, that's not true. Rather, you have to look at it differently. The case of the shar is comparable to the case of the individual who burned down the field. What does that mean? Mahu dikabayile ach sharo dikabayile. The Mishnah is talking about a case of where when I burned down the field on Shabbos, I needed the ashes for something. So therefore, again, it is an intentional, constructive act, and that's why I'm chayv on Shabbos. And the case of the shar is where the shar also went ahead and burnt down the field. Why? Because the shar needed the ashes. To which the Gemara says, shoro, hechi mishkachosla. And we'll say, what is the case of where the shar needs the ashes? Amrali Rav Avya, hacha mayaskinon, what's the case? Listen to this. Bishar pikeach, it's talking about a very wise ox, sha'olsalo neshicha bigabo, it was bitten on its back by another animal. V'kaboy lemikle v'ingadar v'in, excuse me, v'ignadar b'kutma. And the ox knows that the one way to soothe the bite is how? To put ashes on it. The ashes act like a salve. Now that an animal knows that is not such a chiddush, because again, it just could be an animal realizes that because an animal saw ashes and rolled around in it before and realized that it soothed the bite. So the case here that we're talking about is the animal went out of its way to burn. Listen, you're an animal lover. You should not be laughing at this. They're highly intelligent. That's why they're man's best friend, right? And this is, yeah, of course, they're all wonderful. You should love them all. They're all God's creatures. So says the Gemara. We're dealing over here with a case where the animal got bitten on its back, purposely goes ahead and burns down the field because it wants the ashes to soothe the bite. So the Gemara says, "Umenaya dinan." How do you know exactly when an ox burns down a field? How exactly do you know if the ox had intention to burn down the field or not, or if it was just being an ox? To which the Gemara says, "Delabasar dekalye kamigandar bekutma." When after it burns it down, you see it rolling around in the ash. That's indicative, says the Gemara, that the ox itself had intent. To which the Gemara says, wow, is there such a thing as such a smart ox like this? I'm seeing like this is a heightened level of ox intellect. To which the Gemara says, listen to this. In the Gemara says, look, all I can tell you is what we've seen. Dahutura, listen to this. Dahava be Rav Papa. There was once an ox in the house of Rav Papa. Dahava kibin le chinche. That had a toothache. What happens? Ayel upaske linezaisa. Vishasi shichra v'issi. The cow went into, the ox went into the house of Rav Papa, took off the seal on the barrel of beer, drank the barrel, and felt better. Now the truth is, after you drink a barrel of beer, everything feels better. Right? So this is not the, also, but the point over here is that what? That Lamaisa, they saw the ox, take targeted and decisive action. So the idea is, giving Gemara says, apparently there is this level of intellect for the ox to be able to go ahead and do something to alleviate its own pain. So the Gemara says, "Amr Rabbanan Kamei Rabbapa Min Matzis Amr Shoro Dum Yodidei." So the Rabbanan said before Rabbapa, do you really think that the way to read the Mishnah is to compare the ox to the person? V'hakatani, but yet we learned Shoro Shebiyesh Pater. But yet again, what did the Mishnah say? The Mishnah spoke about a case of where the ox humiliated someone. So we'll say, so for example, we'll get into this more, but when it comes to payments for boshes. Boshes means if you do something that humiliates someone. I will say, remember, you could have a case of boshes. We'll discuss when, but there are certain acts that by definition are just humiliating acts. In addition to damage that it causes, it's also just humiliating. So the Mishnah said, let's say the ox does something to someone and humiliates the individual. So what's the halacha? Potter. The owner of the ox is potter for the boshes caused by the ox. Yet, if an individual, if a person goes ahead and does something that causes someone else busha, they're chayiv. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? So we'll say, if you're setting up the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is talking about cases where what my ox does is comparable to what I'm doing. So ultimately, again, I'm only chayiv for, we learned this before, you're only chayiv for boshes when? When you have intent to humiliate the individual. But if there's no intent, then by definition there's no obligation for boshes. If that's the case by an animal, could you ever have a case of intent for boshes? To which the one says, well, yes. Kevon shenis kavin lahazik. We'll say, in fact, what we will see is that the obligation for boshes does not require me to have intention to humiliate. Rather, what it requires of me is to have intention to damage. The Amar Mar Niskavin Lahazik Afapishla Niskavin Labayish, because after Amar said that if a person had intention to damage, even though what? He didn't have intention ultimately Labayish to humiliate, you're still chayev. So therefore again you see from here, Boshas becomes obligatory when there is a clear intention ultimately to embarrass. But if there's no clear intention to embarrass, then to damage. Therefore again, you could have a comparable case in the Mishnah of a short to a person. Because just like a person is only chayev in boshes when what? When he intends to damage, so too the shar could also technically be chayev in boshes when it intends to damage. Rav Am, I'm supposed to say, just understand what we're trying to figure out. All of this is getting started because of a conversation between Rabbi Avo and Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Avo wanted to suggest that Lemaisa, all Mekulkel, all destructive acts on Shabbos are going to be potter, except for Chovel and Mavir, and he's bringing that as a proof from the Mishnah. What that then generates is a discussion as to how to understand the nature of the Mishnah and the comparison between the cases of Adam and Shor. So now another approach. Rava comes along and says, Mas Nisin B'Shogeg. The Mishnah is actually talking about a case of Shogeg, of where these events, these acts, are taking place accidentally. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi, Rava Amar, Rava says, the Ola Maslisin Bidalo Kaboyle La'afro. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the individual or the ox does not need the Afer, does not need the ashes from the field that is being burnt down. V'hai depatem mitashlumin la mishum delahavi bechiyuv misa damas nisnafi lebeshogeg nami deleka chiyuv misa mitukma depatem mitashlumin kidani debechizke. So we'll say Rava comes along and says something amazing. Rava is going to come along and says that Lamaisa, the Mishnah is talking about a case where a person burnt down the field on Shabbos accidentally. I burnt down the field, I was a shogeg. Now I know what you're asking yourself, if I burnt down the field b'shogeg, then what? Then b'pashtos, remember, if you violate Shabbos b'shogeg, then what? There's no chiyuv misa, right? There's no capital punishment, and therefore again, I should be chayiv in tashlumin. I should be chayiv ultimately again in repayment. Yet that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said that although, according to Rava, even though I'm going to be potter from a capital punishment, I'm still also potter from tashlumin. So what's happening over here? So Rava Amar Mas Nisin b'shogeg, our Mishnah is talking about a case where I burnt down the field on Shabbos b'shogeg, uki detana debechizkia, and this reflects the view of the Bechizkia, the Tana de Bechizkia. Listen, so this is a very novel shita. Makya Adu Makya Behema. So in the Yeshiva of Chizkia, they came up with the following ruling. The Torah speaks about a person who strikes another person, or a person who strikes a Behema. Ma Makya Behema Lo Chalakta Bein Shogeg Bein Mezid. We'll say, when you injure an animal, the halacha makes no distinction if you damage the animal intentionally or unintentionally. Bein miskaving l'shem miskaving, whether you did it with kavana or without kavana. Bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah. We'll say, by the way, we will discuss later on the distinction between shogeg and mezid versus miskaving and lo miskaving. They're different things. Bein derech yirida l'derech aliyah, whether I injured the ox, right? And an upward motion, downward motion. We learned about this also earlier. Generally, again, downward motions are more associated with shogeg. Upward motions are more associated, ultimately, not with mezid. We won't call it mezid, but we'll call it poshea. We'll call it a bit negligent. So the potro mamon ela lechayvo. So we'll say in all of these cases, however you go ahead and you injure the animal, so in none of these cases, ultimately, again, will you be exempt from compensation or to compensate ela lechayvo mamon. So we'll say when it comes to an animal, no matter how you damage the animal, no matter what you do, what's the bottom line? Yechayv. Yechayev, right? Fine. So that's Makeh Behema. But remember, what does the Torah do? The Torah compares Makeh Adam. The Torah ultimately compares someone who injures a person to someone who injures a Behema. Af Makeh Adam, so too, again, if one goes ahead and strikes a person, Lo Tachlok Bo Bein Shogeg L'Mezin, don't make a distinction if you injure the person intentionally or unintentionally. Bein miskaven shem miskaven, bein derech yirida derech aliyah, whether you injured in an upward motion or downward motion, lechayvo mamon, to make him obligate in all these cases. Ella lepotro mamon. Rather, again, what's the halacha Rabbo saying? That in any situation where at the end of the day one person killed another person unintentionally, unintentionally, no matter how you went ahead and killed this person, as long as it's in the gedder, as long as it's in the framework of shogeg, so the Beit Chizkiya said, you are potter from repayment. So we'll say, what the Gemara is talking about over here, the Gemara is equating, ultimately, again, Makya Behema and Makya Adam. But equating them, we'll see in two almost yield opposite results. Just like when it comes to a behema, no matter how you injure the behema or you kill the behema, you're going to be chayiv, right? You have to pay. So Makya Adam teaches me that if I accidentally kill someone, no matter how I killed the individual, assuming it was an accident, again, the halacha is I'm potter from paying for the for damages, so to speak, for the death. So look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, actually, no, not yet, sorry. So Amrli Rabban al Rabba. So first, so Moshe, so therefore, according to Rabba, so let's play this out. So as I told you, this is a very unique shita. So according to Beit Chizkiya, based on the comparison in the Pasuk, when you kill someone accidentally, you are potter from all forms of damages. All forms of damages. So now it's interesting. Now, just so you should understand, there is a discussion, which we'll get into in Makus, just in general, where there is a chi of galus, where there's an obligation of exile for killing someone accidentally, is there a chi of mamon? Do you have to pay damages as well? So we'll get into that, but we're leaving that aside. Right now, Tanya Devi Chizkiya says, whenever you kill someone accidentally, you are a potter from mamon. Now remember, why is this important for us? Because according to Rava, what Rava is suggesting is the following, that the case ultimately of where I burn down the field on Shabbos is a case of shogeg. Since technically speaking, so therefore again, Rava's going to say, since it's a case of shogeg, Rava essentially says, in any case of shogeg, you're potter from mamon as well. That's why the Mishnah is going to rule that in a case of where I burn down the field on Shabbos, so I'm going to be potter from mamon, even though what? I'm not chayiv, a death penalty. So I'm really Rabban the Rava. Me matzis mukmas la b'shogeg. Can you really set up the Mishnah as dealing with a case of shogeg? Does that make sense? Vaha. But that's not what the Mishnah says. Remember, what does the Mishnah say? That if I burnt down the field on Shabbos, the reason I am potter, right? The reason ultimately, again, I am exempt. If I go ahead and I burn down the field on Shabbos is why? Because I am chayiv a death penalty. Why am I chayiv a death penalty, Rabbi Osai? Ultimately, because I did it intentionally. So how can you start the Mishnah as dealing with shogeg? This is what it means to say. So what it means to say is the following. So since in Rava's model, in Rava's construct, the halacha is the following. Anything that if you were to do it intentionally would yield a death sentence, even if you do it b'shogeg, you are potter from mamon. That's Rava's idea. That's Rava's construct based on the Beit Chizkiya. So therefore, according to Rava, what the Mishnah is saying is the following, is that if I burn down the field on Shabbos, I am potter from mamon, even if I did it b'shogeg. Why? Because had I done it b'mezid, I would have been chayiv. I would have been chayiv, meaning a death penalty. And Rava's logic is anything which, if done intentionally, yields a death penalty, if done unintentionally, is potter from mamon. You'll say, what's the logic in that? According to Rava, there's not a logical argument, but rather, again, he bases it on the pasuk, on the comparison Makya Adam to Makya Behema. Just like Makya Behema is chayiv in every single case, so Makya Adam will be potter ultimately again from Mamon in every single case. Therefore, according to Rava, the Mishnah is teaching me that when I burn down the field on Shabbos, I am potter from Mamon, even if I did it b'shogeg, since had I done it b'mezid, I would have been chayiv. Hechi dami, what's the case of where if I would have done it b'mezid, I would have been chayiv? Dikaboy la'afro, that would be a case also where I needed the ash. So because if I needed the ash, that would have been a constructed intentional act. Therefore, the Maisa, again, I would be chayiv for that, even b'mezid. Therefore, b'shogeg potter. Therefore, ultimately, again, in such a case like this, I would be potter b'shogeg. So both sides. So first of all, we know we don't paskin halacha l'maisa again like this idea of Rava, but l'maisa in a case of shogeg, we will discuss that there is a din of mamon. We also paskin, that in general for meleches Shabbos. That by definition, in order for you to be chayiv a malacha, it must be a malachas machsheves. It must be a constructive, meaningful, or thought out malacha. That's why anything you do that is derech kilkul, anything you do ultimately again that is destructive in nature on Shabbos, you are potter for on Shabbos. So, for example, you know, there's a malacha of chotech of cutting according to measure, if a person, let's say, rips something open on Shabbos in a destructive fashion, ultimately again, or mechatech, ultimately, then one will be pater from that. Remember, as you said yesterday, pater filcho Shabbos always means, almost always means, pater aval osser. It's pater midaraisa, but it's biblically prohibited, with the exception of, actually these exceptions, of chovel and mavir. The Rabbah said, even though the act of burning something down by definition is destructive, the halacha is you are still chayef for it on Shabbos. Same thing with chovel. Same thing with drawing blood and causing an injury, which ultimately is a derivative, is a toldah of the malacha of shechita. Even though such an act is by definition destructive, you're still chayef for it on Shabbos as well. Says the Mishnah. Another interesting case, we'll say, shar shahaya rodev acher shar acher. So listen to this. You have one shar pursuing another shar. So shar A is running after shar B. And what happens? They both say, now, so I see them in the distance, right? So let's say my shar is shar A, running after Reuven's shar, which is shar B. So we see them running after, I see my shar running after Reuven's shar, then they disappear from sight. The next time I see them, what happens? Reuven's shar B, is limping, right? It was injured. So ze omer shar chahizik. So Reuven says, listen, says Silber, your shar injured my shar. So you're chayiv. But I say no. How do you know my shar injured your shar? Quite possible that I think your shar tripped over a rock. Right? I know my shar was running after your shar, but who's to say that's what injured your shar? Your shar tripped over a rock. So what's the halacha? So obviously, the burden of proof is upon Reuven to prove that it was my shar that injured him. We'll say now again, this is not a halacha that's unique to here. Any time that you want to extract money from someone who is in possession of the money, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? The burden of proof is upon the extractor. So it says the Gemara, Motz Michaver Alav Araya, Hayushnaim Rotfim, Achar Echad. So we'll say next case. Two oxen are running after a third. And then what happens? Again, same case. They disappear from sight. The third emerges, right? The one who's being pursued emerges and he's limping. Ze Omer Shar Chahizik, Ze Omer Shar Chahizik. So we'll say, so A says to B, B, it was your shar that did the damage. B said to A, it was your shar that did the damage. What's the halacha of the days? Shnehem peturim. So I'll say ultimately again, both A and B will be potter. And I'll say again, same idea, because the burden of proof rests upon C, the owner of the pursued ox, to ultimately prove who injured him. If you want to extract money, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. Im hayu shnehem shel ish echad. So I'll say, listen to this. If, however, the two oxen who are running after the third one both belong to the same person, then what? Shnehem chayavin. Then indeed, both of the oxen are chayiv. So Rashi says, Mefarish pe Gemara. We'll see exactly what that case means in the Gemara. Haya echad gadol ve'echad katan. So we'll say, listen to this. So let's say there are two oxen running after a third ox. And what happens? Ox A, so A and B are running after C. A is a large ox. B is a small ox. One of them does damage to ox C. So in this case, as opposed to the previous cases, we know with certainty that ox C was damaged by A or B. We just don't know with certainty whether it was A or B. So watch this. Hanizak Omer, Gadol Hizik. So I'll say the Nizak, the damaged party says that what? It was the larger ox, we'll call it A, that damaged my animal C. Now, why would the Nizak be making the claim that ultimately, again, it was large ox? Remember again, this is a case of Tam, right? Which says, so Tam Karen is going to pay Chatzi Nezek. Remember, what's the cap for Chatzi Nezek? The cap for Chatzi Nezek is the value of the damaging animal. So for example, let's say you have an inexpensive animal that damages a very expensive animal. So what happens? A simple case. So let's say again, the damaging animal is worth $100 and the damaged animal is worth $1,000. So Chatzi Nezek will be $500. But also here's the problem. The damaging animal is only worth $100. So what's the halacha in that case? The halacha in that case is the damaged party could only collect up to the value of the damaging animal. So you collect $100 and you're done. So watch this case. So over here, so A and B were running after C. A is a large ox, B is a small ox, C is the damaged ox. The owner of C comes to the owner, and A and B are owned by the same person. The owner comes to the owner of A and B and says, look, your large ox damaged my ox. He wants the large ox because, again, he'll be able to collect chatzi nezek from the value of the large ox. And what happens? Mazik Omer Lo Kela Katan Izik. And of course, the mazik, the damager, says, "No, no, no! It was not my large ox. My large ox is very nice. My large ox is very right. My large ox would never hurt a fly. It must have been my small ox that guy's got problems, right? So my small ox, that's the one who went ahead and injured you." So I'll say, or similarly, echad tam ve'echad muad. So I'll say, let's say again, A and B. A is a tam, B is a muad. What happens? So we'll say A and B, one of them injures C. So C comes along and says, Hanizak Omer Muad Hizik. So remember again, if you're the injured party, so it's in your best interest to say who injured your animal. B, the Muad, why? Nezik Shali, full damages. The Mazik Omer Lo Kiela Tam Hizik. But ultimately, again, the Mazik says, no, it was not my Muad animal, but rather again, it was my Tam animal. So we'll say in both of these cases, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav haraya. So we'll say in both of these cases again, remember the obligation rests upon the damaged party to ultimately prove who it was that damaged it. And remember, the difference in these cases over here is that the owner of the damaging animal, or the owner of the pursuing animals, is admitting that damage occurred. He's just disputing which animal did the damage, and thereby disputing, really, the valuation of damages. So already, again, in the first cases, the owner of the animal was disputing that his animal damaged at all. In these cases, accepting or admitting that his animal's damaged, disputing which animals did the damage. But I will say, bottom line, the bottom line is the same, which is, Hamotzi mechaveiro alav harayo. That at the end of the day, the burden of proof to extract money ultimately falls upon the extractor. Hayu hanizakin shnayim echad gadol ve'echad katan. So we'll say, now we're going to complicate this just a little bit more. So now let's say you have A and B. A and B are the damaging animals. And what happens? A is a large animal. B is a small animal. I read that wrong. Hayuhan is Zekin. The damaged animals. A, we'll call them A and B. One is large, one is small. Vahamaz Zekin, Shnaim, Echad Gadol, Echad Katan. And what happens? The damaging animals, also, one is large, one is small. So we'll say, so what happens? So now, let's assume over here, in this case, the animals damaged each other. So Hanizak Omer, the Nizak says, Gadol, Hizik, Esha Gadol, the Katan, Esha Katan. So the Nizak says, the damaged party says, that, oh, your large animal damaged my large animal, your small animal damaged my small animal. Well, so why does the Nizak say that? Now again, the Nizak says, of course, the Nizak says it because it's the truth. But why does this, right, why do these facts seem to inform his version of the truth? Because again, same thing, the ability to collect chatzi nezek. If it's a very small animal that damaged a very large animal, it's quite possible that the small animal does not have enough value in it to even cover chatzi nezek. V'hamazik Omer, the mazik says, lo, ki ela katan es ha-gadol, v'gadol es ha-katan. Rather, again, the mazik says, no, it was my small animal that damaged your large animal, and my large animal that damaged your small animal. So the mazik, again, his vested interest is to go ahead and say that it's the small animal that damaged the large animal. Why? Because the ma'isa, therefore, chatzi nezek will be capped at the value of the damaging animal. Correct, because larger animals not going to matter as much because that's a smaller value. That's a smaller value. Meaning, remember, he's not going to lose anything by substituting the large animal for the small animal when it comes to damage of the small animal, because damages will be the same. He wins out with the damages of the large animal. So the Gemara says, Echad tam ve'echad muad. So we'll say, again, same cases. Let's say two animals of the mazik damaged two animals of the nizak. Echad tam ve'echad muad. So ha-nizak omer muad hizik es ha-gadol. So ultimately, the nizak says, your muad animal damaged my large ox. Now, why does the Nizak say that, Rabbi Osai? Because it's in the Nizak's best interest to get Nezek Shalim for the larger animal, the Tam Esak Katan, and your Tam animal, which will only be Chatzi Nezek, that ultimately damaged my small animal. The Mazik Omer, the Mazik says, lo, ki ela Tam Esak Gadol. So rather, it must, the Mazik says just the opposite. The Mazik says, my tam animal damaged your muad animal, and my tam animal damaged your large animal, muad esakatan, and my muad animal damaged your small animal. So we'll say again, bottom line is the same in all of these cases, which is hamotzi mechaveiro alav harayo. That Rabbi will say, he who seeks to extract additional monies ultimately upon him rests the burden of proof. So we'll say in these cases over here, where the mazik is admitting ultimately again to a certain amount, if the nizak wants to prove that the mazik owes additional monies, the burden of proof ultimately is upon the nizak. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, we'll say the Gemara. Zoso meres, this Mishnah would seem to say, chalukim alav chaberov dis al sumchus, that ultimately again sumchus's friends disagree with him. What does sumchus say? The Amar, Mamon Hamut will be Safek Chokin. And we'll say, Sumchus says, if you look at Rashi, Al Sumchus, first Rashi in the Gemara, Dhamma the Kama, and Sumchus will teach us a little bit later on, Bebraisa, Be Gemara, Beshoshenagach, and Sapara. So we'll say, we'll discuss the case ultimately again of a shar that gored a para, gored a cow, and we'll see again the cow miscarried. And the fetus is there by the cow, and the Shaila is, did the cow miscarry as a result of the goring? Or before the goring. So we will see again, Sumcha says, Mamon Hamotel Basafik Cholkin. Sumcha says, Rosai, that if you have money in dispute, the only way to resolve money in dispute is how? To split the difference. Cholkin. You split the difference. Rash says, Or Masdisin Shamin and the Chalukim of Chavero, Tiktani Vasimichairan. So the Gemara says over here, Sumcha's his friends, and when we say Sumcha's his friends, that means the authors of our Mishnah seem to dispute Sumcha's. Why? Because Sumchus says, anytime you have a monetary dispute, how do you resolve monetary dispute? Split it. Yet the Mishnah doesn't say that. What does the Mishnah say? Hamotzi mechaber alav haraya. Then you don't split anything. Rather, again, if you want to extract money, ultimately, again, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. Amar Rabbi Abba bar Mamma, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So Rabbi Abba bar Mamma said to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Amar Sumchus afilu bari ubari. So we'll say, here's the interesting part. Did Sumcha say this even in a case where each party was making definitive claims? In other words, we'll say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. That Lamaisa, Sumcha's case, when we say Maman Hamotel Basafek, usually what that means is what? That normally neither party really knows what's happened. So for example, you know, my ox gores Ruvain's par, and Ruvain's cow. And again, I know that my ox, that matter is not in dispute. What's the dispute? Did the cow miscarry before or after the goring? Now the truth is, Reuven and I both show up to the scene at the same time, which means what? Neither of us actually know what happened. I admit that my ox gored his cow, but neither of us know what happened regarding the miscarriage. So that's the case, says the Gemara, where Sumcha says, that's Maman HaMotel B'Safek. Motel B'Safek means what? Neither party really knows what has actually occurred. In that case, Sumchus will say, Cholkin, we split the money. But that's not our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we'll say, what's the case? Bari Ubari. What does Bari Ubari mean? Each side says, no, I know what definitively happened. Right? So again, Reuven says, your ox gored my ox. And I say, no, your ox tripped over a rock. That's why it got injured. So the Sumchus hold the Maman HaMotel B'Safek is chokin, even in a case of bari ubari, where each case is making a definitive claim. To which the Gemara says, "Amalei in." He said, "Yes, actually, Sumchus does hold that." Amalei in. Amar Sumchus afilu bari ubari. Yes, Sumchus actually holds that Maman HaMotel B'Safek. That whenever you have a suffix about money, you split the monies. Not just in a case where neither party knows exactly what happened, but even in a case where each party is making definitive claims. So how do you know that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Bari Ubari where each side is making definitive claims? Diktani, because we learned, Ze Amar Sharcha Hizik, the Ze Omer Lo Ki. Because they will say, what's the case of the Mishnah? How does the Mishnah read? So remember again, let's go just to the first case. My ox is running after Reuven's ox. They disappear from sight. When they reemerge, what happens? Reuven's ox is limping. So Reuven says, your ox injured my ox. And I say, no, your ox tripped over a rock. So we'll say, those are definitive statements. I'm not saying, well, maybe your ox tripped over a rock. We're each making a definitive claim. Maskev Rapapa. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. So the Gemara now is suggesting that our Mishnah represents a fundamental dispute in Halacha between Sumchus and his fellow rabbinic colleagues. Sumchus will say, anytime you have doubt regarding monetary claims, the way to resolve that doubt is how? Cholkin, you split the monies. Our Mishnah says, no, the only time we entertain the possibility of splitting monies is when? When no one knows what happened. So that's Maman HaMotel B'Safek Cholkin. But if different parties are making definitive claims, then we default to basic normative monetary law, which is what? That the responsibility or the burden of proof is upon the extractor. That ultimately, again, if you want to go and extract money from someone, then Lamaisa, again, the burden of proof is upon you. To which the words Maskev Rapapa. So Rapapa said, Midreisha Bari Ubari. So now Rapapa's like this. If you're going to interpret the Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, which is the case of Osei, where my ox is running after Reuven's ox. And what happens? That Reuven's ox emerges injured, and I say it was a rock that injured your ox. And Reuven says, no, it was your ox that injured my ox. So if the Reish is going to be a case of Bariu, where each side is making definitive claims. Sefer Nami Bariu Bari. It must be that the second part of the Mishnah is also a case, ultimately, again, of Bariu Bari, where each side is making definitive claims. To which the Gemara says, Seima Seifa, Haya Echad Gadlova Echad Katan. So let's discuss this for a moment. What was the case of the Seifa? So Echad Gadlova Echad Katan. So remember, I have two oxen, and both of them are running. And both of them are running after Reuven's ox, one ox. So what happens? And Reuven's ox is injured. So we'll say in this case, it's clear that what? One of my oxen injured Reuven's ox. The machlokes is which one? Nizak Omer Gadol Hizik. So the damaged party says to me, it was your large ox that damaged my ox. Because remember again, he wants chatzi nezek from the body ultimately of the large ox. Umazik Omer, and the mazik says, the damager says, no, lo ki ela katan hizik. It was my small ox that damaged your ox. Or echad tam ve echad muad. Similarly again, if my two oxen are pursuing Reuven's, and my two oxen, one is tam, one is muad, and it damages Reuven's ox. So Reuven says, the nizak damage party says, muad hizik. So Reuven says, that damage party says, it was your muad ox that damaged my ox. Va mazik Omer, and the damager says, lo, ki ela tam hizik. It was, and I say, no, it was my tam ox that damaged you. So we'll say, what's talacha? Hamotzi mechavera alav haraya. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What did the Mishnah Paskin? The Mishnah Paskin, that in order for the damaged party to extract any more money than the damager is willing to admit to, the burden of proof is upon the damaged party. So what do you see from here? The Gemara says, ha, lo maisi raya, shakil kid the amr mazik. Now, Bosa, we're gonna detour for just a moment over here. Something fascinating emerged over here, Bosa, which is what? That, again, so let's play this out. So I have two oxen. One is a tam, one is a muad. Let's keep it easy. And one of my oxen damages Reuven's ox. Reuven claims it's my muad ox that I damaged his ox. I say what? I say it was my tam ox. The chiluk, of course, between that is that Reuven is essentially claiming I owe him nezek shalim. I'm claiming I owe him chati nezek. What does the Mishnah say? Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. Which of us seems to say what? That if Reuven wants to extract nezek shalim, the burden of proof is upon him to prove that it was my muad ox, thank you, that damaged him. Now, what do we infer from that? Let's say Reuven can't support that claim. Let's say he can't prove it. So what's going to be the halacha, Bosai? Right? He collects chatzi nezek. The Gemara says, wow, that's really interesting that if Reuven can't prove his claim that it was my muad ox that damaged him, he'll get to collect from the time from chatzi nezek. After all, neme tehevet yufta, say that refutes the following position. The Rabbi Bar Nosson, the Amar, ta'anuchitim, v'holdula b'sa'orim pater. Bosai, listen to this. Chazara Bar Nosson says to Bosai, if I go to Reuven and I say to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me wheat. And Reuven says what? And Reuven says, no, I only owe you barley. We'll say, what's talacha? Reuven is pater. Why is Reuven pater, we'll say? Because Reuven is admitting to something dramatically different than the claim. He's not answering the claim. Therefore, again, when it comes to Reuven's claim, when I go over to Reuven and I say, Reuven, you owe me wheat, and Reuven says, no, you owe me barley, we're not talking the same language. Therefore, by definition, when we say pater, he doesn't have to pay me the barley. Why? Because I never claimed barley. I never said you owe me barley. So because I never said you owe me barley, therefore what? Therefore, lemaisa, again, I have no right to collect from that. Look at Rashi, pater, af mi dinei sa'orim, da amra le toveya, lav sa'orim yavi lecha. Because remember, the verse of the Toveya, the one who's making the claim, never claimed that he's owed any barley. V'achuli machel gabe. And therefore, again, I've obviously, even if you do owe me barley, I've released any claims. So Bosai, listen to this. You hear what the Gemara is asking? So the Gemara is saying, wow. So listen to this case. My ox injures, right, one of my two oxen injures Reuven, Reuven's ox. I say it was my tam ox. Reuven says it was my muad ox. Let's say, if Reuven can prove his claim, great. He gets nezek shalom. If he can't prove his claim, then what? He gets chatzi nezek. Why? Why should he get chatzi nezek? At the end of the day, that's not what he's claiming. Right? Remember, in Reuven's mind, what's the liability of my tam ox to him? Right? Nothing. my Tanakh didn't do anything to him. Right? He's claiming my Mu'arax did something to him. So the Emerge is pointing out, but you'll see why this fits into the conversation. The Emerge pointing out, by the way, the Mishnah does not reflect the view of Rabbah Bar Nosson. Because Rabbah Bar Nosson Abosai says that if ultimately, again, the Nitba, the person against whom the claim is made. Is that the claim? The victim? So the person against whom the claim is made, so we'll say that person admits to something different than the claim. The claimant is the person who makes the claim?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then the claimant claims, then let me say it simpler. We'll say, again, at the end of the day, if the person who owes admits to something different than the claimant is claiming, then Lamaisa according to Rabbah Bar Nosson, he's potter. So again, if I go over to Reuven and I say to Reuven, you owe me wheat, and Reuven says, no, I only owe you barley, Rabbah Bar Nosson says that at the end of the day, Reuven is going to be potter because I'm not claiming barley. And if there was a barley claim out there, I'm clearly mochel on that. So to here it's interesting, Rabbah Bar Nosson would not fit, or I should say, our Mishnah does not fit with Rabbah Bar Nosson, because in our case of the Mishnah over here, I'm claiming the tam animal damaged you, Reuven. Reuven is claiming, no, your tam animal didn't damage me, your muad animal damaged me. So the Mishnah seems to say that if Reuven can't prove his claim about the muad, ultimately he could collect from tam. But why is that? Reuven never making any claim against tam, in which case, again, if he can't make the claim or can't prove the claim against my muad animal, then what? He's going to try Bar Nosson, he should get nothing. To which the Gemara says, well, let's analyze this. Ella bebari b'shema. So we'll say, we have to be talking in the Mishnah about a case of Bari and Shema. So we'll say, ultimately, again, the case of Bari, so now what we're doing is, we've just proven the Mishnah can't be talking about a case of Bari and Bari. It can't be talking about a case where both claimants, where the damager and the victim are both making definitive claims. Why, Bosse? Now you understand why we're saying this? Because if they're both making definitive claims, then in a case where the victim can't prove his claim, it's counterintuitive to say that he should be able to collect from what the damager is claiming. Why? Because that's not the claim of the victim. Therefore, it must be that the Mishnah is talking about a situation of what we call Bari Veshema. It's talking where one party is making a definitive claim, and one party ultimately, again, is making a possible claim. All right, so we'll have to stop over here. I'm gonna record to the bottom of the daf for you. Emir Tzashem today. I'm going to be away for the Schustiko Territory. So Emir Tzashem. So I'm gonna leave you in the capable hands of Yehuda Neuberger. Emir Tzashem for the next week. Just a reminder that Wednesday and Thursday are Rosh Chodesh. So tomorrow and Thursday we start at 5:45. So I'll record to the end of today's daf Emir Tzashem for you, so you'll be able to get a good head start on the new parak. I'll also record a couple of Mesilas Yisharim Shiurim as well. So those will be posted online. Shkoyach.
One other announcement. If you're using the art scroll tomorrow, you need to bring the new volume.
Shkoyach.